Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I want to put a spotlight on one of my favorite weekly listens. This is one of my favorite podcasts right now. The Three Jams and Players, we have a great story with memorable NPCs, a unique world, and absolutely wonderful characters that are just a hoot and a half to hear. I won't go on too much because they can explain it better, but they really are a treat and you should add them to your playlists.
Are you looking for your next adventure to get lost in? Do you enjoy dark fantasy, horror, slice of life? Are your favorite tropes filled with tragic backstories and a found family comprised of a snarky lesbian, a morally gray grump, and a sunshine character? Then look no further. Tune in to Tales of Three and follow the adventures of three unlucky strangers whose fates collide when they accidentally stumble upon a plot to destroy the world as they know it. Throw in some forbidden magic, a slow burn romance, hidden identities, and some devastatingly beautiful baddies who will stop at nothing to keep our trio apart. Mix it all up, and we've got your next obsession. Tales of Three, a Rainbow Dice Club production, is an all-queer, Dungeons & Dragons-based podcast that airs on Fridays. Find us at Rainbow Dice Club on most socials and at Tales of Three wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and now we start the show. Hey everybody, this is Jeff, your GM and narrator, and we are here today with John for his day off episode. But before we get started, let's get them lightsaber checks.
Hi everybody, this is John playing as Lucius, and I'm going to roll for a lightsaber, and I got a 16. Not quite there today.
We'll pick up here at the Umbrasyn Estate. Fors and Dosh and Keegan have all taken off into the city for dusk banter. Oswald is here hanging out with Jasper and going about his day trying to go check out all the building that Xavier is doing. Is there anything that you wanted to do here while you're waiting for Matilda to come pick you up?
I see myself starting the day probably just having some coffee and kind of walking the yard of this estate and seeing the progress of what's going on. The idea that we're actually doing something good here makes me feel like a better person right now. So just kind of soaking it in.
Yeah, you definitely feel that the vibe in our fairy has changed. Xavier's business, bringing in outside wealth, as well as giving jobs to a lot of the local people so that they have work to do and things to focus on. The King of the Air Fairy no longer is spending most of his time working with people to set up a council to start bringing our fairy as a serious contender into the rest of the districts.
I'm going to imagine they'd want nothing to do with me on that, right? Nobody comes and talks to me about anything on that matter.
Yeah, nobody's going to come reach out to you for it.
Yeah, happy to be nothing to do with that.
It is a pleasant summery day up here in the Arfairy area, as Matilda will pull up in a kind of wide-set Hedron vehicle. Looks fairly new. You can see she has her scarf on, as well as what looks like a decently reinforced leather jacket and jeans, kind of adventuring kind of gear, with her driving gloves.
Yeah, I'll smile at that. Imagine I'm probably like just walking out in the yard with a cup of coffee as she pulls in.
Whenever you're ready, get in.
Yeah, just a moment. I'll walk inside, grab my Albert cloak, all of my gear, and flop myself in the passenger side. Kind of look over the features inside their Hedron vehicle.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty standard Amon luxury edition kind of cruiser.
I can imagine myself playing with the window uppy downy buttons because I still have crank rollers in mind.
She'll wave at Xavier as he's out talking with the crew and with a pair of Lycals, as he'll wave back at both of you as you guys will take off.
Yep. Thumbs up and a pat on the top of the car with the windows down.
She'll put the top down since it is nice out, so you guys can hang out. And as you pull away from the Arfairy district, leaving through the front there, people will wave at you as you pass by like the fire department. You guys will get onto the open freeway. Matilda will... We can stop in Sword Eye for lunch. They just got a Verdant on fire there, so I've been wanting to try it out.
Gimmicky restaurants, I love it. Kind of look in rear windows, kind of look at a place and say, this place is coming together. Thank you, Matilda.
Not a worry, Lucius. We should have permits and paperwork ready on the other three sites, though we still have to get there and claim them. So I figure this would be a fun day trip for us to go take a look for the location over here on the northeast coast.
I'll be thinking about the last time I was there with a little bit of a shudder, thinking about spiders.
With some light synth pop in the background as she keeps driving, she'll try to keep it light for a bit as she kind of talks about, or we'll ask about, you know, how's your crew doing since Farthen?
You know, I've always counted on them. It's less that they're my crew and more that we're a crew. They're all really stepping up.
Good to hear.
How about you and all your fanboys? Kind of chuckle a little bit while I say that.
Yeah, the Cockatrices? They're a good group. They're fun friends. Different energy than Duskmander, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I'll chuckle a little bit thinking about, what's his name? Wanting to date her.
Desmond.
Yeah. But yeah, I won't say anything about that.
They're a good crew. I'm looking forward for when they get back from Farthen. I'll take them out to a nice meal. Has Xavier talked to you at all? I'm worried about him.
No, he hasn't. He looks rough. He's been through a lot, but I guess I never thought that it would faze him. You're worried about him?
I don't know. It feels like he's getting into dangerous stuff. He's making deals behind the scenes. He says that he's got it. He's got it control, but I don't know. It doesn't look like he has it.
I guess I've always known you'd have a better relationship with him. He never lets me in on what these deals are, what's going on. He's just always on top of it in my mind.
Well, that's the thing is, ever since he took over, he's cut me out of a lot of what he's been doing. And if he's not talking to you either, I'm just worried he's getting himself into things that he can't get out of.
Frown at that.
Did you bring that scythe?
Let's say that I did.
Thumb over her shoulder. So what's up with that giant scythe in the trunk, Lucius?
I guess it's more sentimental at this point than it is a status symbol, but when I gave the King of our Fairy what he needed to seal our contract, the weapons that he's carrying now, he gave this to me. I don't think I can just leave it alone right now. As for using it, I'll kind of do a little bit of a joking flex. I think I'm going to need to figure out a couple more push-ups or something.
Yeah, she looks over at you and like, it looks ridiculous.
It might look ridiculous, but I wouldn't leave it alone. It's powerful.
Yeah, she'll look back down at her wrist where that symbol appeared, and yeah, I believe you.
I'll think on that for a second, kind of looking out the window and say, do you have any bearing on magic anymore? Or is it just void to you? You can't tell how powerful that scythe is, can you?
Nope. I could use it like any normal scythe, I guess. You know, same as I can use further, but I can't sense anything and I can't generate magic of my own.
I'll look at the scarf. Like, Varther can't help you with that at all?
Help with what?
Discerning anything magical. It's sentient, isn't it? It can speak to you.
Yeah, it is. Farthen was a priest of the god Arashi, the storm god. He doesn't really specialize in detecting magic and stuff.
Okay.
That feels more like a you thing. I did some checking in. So this, like, you guys driving down the freeway as you're crossing over the Arfari into Sword Eye District. You see, like, the freeway signs to let you know, which exits and food coming up. But I lost my contact, Elena Sunflower, in the Amon HR. There's some redacted accident that happened, but it looks like the bold requisitions paperwork is still in limbo. So it's not approved for renovation or resale yet. I was going to try and get control of it again for us, but the redacted event is kind of moving Sunflower's paperwork all around. So sorry, I don't have any good news for us on that front.
I guess that's a little bit hopeful. I think I met the person that was looking to develop on that land. Don't know what to say about it. I'll be thinking about how there's the secret area that may or may not still exist.
Yeah, you went down there and it's burned and broken up. You collected box with 3 vials of blood in it.
Gotcha.
Do you even want it back, Lucius?
Staring out the window, thinking about how I'm living in an Amon's headquarters right now. Like, kind of. I'm sleeping on a couch there. I think I've got like a apartment across the street or something in a hotel room. Like, you know what? Yeah, I do want to rebuild that. I want our home back. I just don't know how to get it. Not right now. I'm kind of like fidget at some shit. I'm really ingrained in Amon right now. I didn't know how deep I'd get, but now I'm in it. I don't really know how to get out.
I mean, it's Amon, right? Nobody gets out.
Yeah, Chuckle, but I guess you're right.
Fuck, after what happened to the Justicari, I think it's pretty cool that you're just on unpaid leave.
Yeah, it gets worse than that.
She'll ask, is there something I should know about?
You know, I'm just on thin ice with the leadership. I don't know, the actions that I've taken so far. I think that they've they probably wanted them more to be in the best interest of Amon and for Typhrailen. And, I've been put on leave for a couple of weeks right now because I'm not exactly doing what they expected. And if you remember Orion Storm, as much as I tried to... Fuck, did I try? He's got vendettas. He's doing his best to make it hard for me in this company.
Yeah, I must be a family trait. I think that's why we normally keep our own businesses and not join others. But hey, you know, Xavier's the smart one, I'm the studious one, and you're the cute one, right? So take Orion out to dinner or something. Plus, if his vendetta's that bad, Amon's not going to stand for it.
Good way to look at it. But yeah, you should have seen him crumble when I told him the news and turned us both into Amon employees.
Oh, I'm sure he didn't take it well. In case you forgot, I've been working in banking for a while. I've had to foreclose on quite a few people's dreams.
Yeah.
But you'll take the exit here in Sword Eye as starts to drift over and head down into that kind of central main street center area that you've been to before. Passing the St. Gant Hotel, the fountain there, as she'll park. And you guys will head into the Verdant on Fire. It's the place that you went to in Farthen that serves the kind of fusion Caribbean food.
Right. I forgot I had been here before. Been to one of these.
Desmond speaks highly of it, so I wanted to give it a try.
I recall it's pretty good, but everything's good when you make it taste good.
She'll roll her eyes, and I will have to stick with the chef's recommendation. And don't you dare change the flavor of my food.
Wouldn't dream of it this time.
She'll order, a fancy salad with grilled jerk chicken and spices on it, and tell you to pick up whatever you want. Fancy investments will cover this one. It's a business expense.
I'll drop my hands, but the menu stays in place, and it flips to the most expensive thing on the menu. So don't mind if I do.
Do you even like Dragon Turtle?
Let's find out.
Yep, she'll put her hands up in defeat, and like, it's a write-off anyways.
What's the atmosphere of this place like? We're here at night, are we in the day, or...
Yeah, it's still daytime. I mean, she picked you up early, so imagine you're 12, 1 p.m., so sun's up high. You're on that outside kind of seating area. You have the waiters wearing all black, kind of moving about, checking on people, filling up drinks. Matilda's got, some shaded peekers on, and her hair is bundled back and up. Leather jacket put over a chair, and she seems to be enjoying herself and just kind of relaxing.
Sounds good. I'll be kind of in the same sort of deal. I'll have my Albert coat folded up, put in over something. Just wearing my Amon speed suit.
She will giggle at that, like, God, you look like a janitor.
I'll kind of pull at it a little bit and be like, yeah, I bought into this. I own it.
Buy into a department with better fashion sense.
When I figure this out, I'll be back into my suit in no time. But right now, I just got to remember where I'm at. Peel out the suit a little bit more and let it go.
Yeah, you'll see a small commotion at the other end of the restaurant as some people kind of clap and wave. And, you know, you'll see some camera flashes as Seeker Quinn seems to be just kind of passing by the neighborhood here, celebrating his most recent promotion to the head of the Sword Eye District Seekers. Though far enough away, you're not going to directly engage them unless you want to. You'll just see him pass by as people seem to be kind of excited, and there's a new captain, there's a new leader of the Seekers, and somebody's going to make sure they stay in line and help to rid of the corruption of that terrible incident at that brewery months ago.
I'll smile as he walks by. I'm not going to draw any attention. But yeah, with all intentions to brag to Matilda, like, yeah, I saved his life. I put him where he's at. I'll think about, at that point, too, just think about how I was just running away from all the bad guys shooting at me. Everybody else took care of it.
Well, it's always good to have some Seekers in the pocket.
Wouldn't say they're in the pocket. I'd say it up front. Almost for Seekers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had that other one, that Void that you were friends with, too, huh?
Yeah, Doss.
I think I saw her on the news getting her medals or something.
I'll think back. What were they getting medals for?
Oh, yeah. Remember the that whole Justicary plot you helped uncover?
Sure.
Yeah, she and another Seeker got messed up pretty badly during that. I think she's on paid leave or something. Lost an arm, and the other guy had to get quite a bit of work done. But, yeah, they got awarded by Matosi. I can't remember who's the captain right now. But, yeah, the big Artori fellow. Yeah, they got awarded, you know, bravery medals and honors medals for their work in uncovering corruption in the city and everything that kind of happened from there. If you guys finish your meal here at Verdant on Fire, Matilda will order a couple to-go meals. which she'll, hey, in case we get hungry. And the spider forest, as long as the spiders aren't around, it's kind of a nice place for a picnic.
Kinda, yeah. I haven't had a good experience at the spider forest yet, but you know what? Maybe this is the time. Picnic sounds nice. I'm going to say that I really liked the dragon turtle.
Okay. Imagine dragon turtle ceviche. Cold soup and garnished with other seafood. You guys will head out of Verdant on Fire back onto the roadways and off towards the spider forest. Per scarf, as you get closer to the forest there, you can see and hear like the electricity cackle at the edges of the scarf, kind of as it gets whipped about in the wind.
Might as well ask about it. What's going on with, how do you pronounce it, Forther? Yeah, what's going on with Forther?
He's excited. Like I said, he's a priest of Arashi, and we're going back to one of his sacred sites. Says the closer we get, the more you can feel the magic that surrounds it, the ley lines. Gives him a boost, you know?
Yeah, I do.
And as you get closer, you can also see the runes on your arm shifting and twisting until they give you access to the air and water domains.
Damn. Yeah, I won't be shy about that. I'll be holding that arm up and watching the runes do what they do, deciphering what they're supposed to mean, feeling the magic change in me.
Matilda definitely watches this, like, as she's driving, kind of, oh, shit, what the hell is that? When did you get that done?
We picked it up in the ruins of the power plant.
Okay.
Yeah, I picked this up in the Shrine of Horeth. It seems like this is an assumption at this point, but it seems that somebody a long time ago sabotaged the distribution of power in that area. All the same, when we found the body of that person, this was on them, and, well, now it's mine. And I'll kind of be fingering the ring that's on my hand, not mentioning it as well.
Oh, okay. Keeping those requisitions going, I see.
Yeah, it's a bit ancient. I still have a hard time understanding exactly its function, but it's no Alfier.
Yeah, if you want, I can check in and see if I can find a historian or somebody for you to speak with about that.
Yeah, at this point, why not? I'd be interested. But I'd be also concerned that, just be aware that these shrines, they're old. We found this, we were attacked by a guardian from, I don't know how long it was dormant. These areas are dangerous. They have a lot of history.
Come on, she'll look at you and...
Right.
I'm sure we can take a guardian, right?
I'll be like, kind of thinking in my head, I'm sure you can take a guardian. Yeah, we've got this.
Of course you. Yeah, we got this. You notice as you guys start to pull into the spider forest, you can feel that electrical kind of static coming from further. That means that a lot of the spiders here, we'd say like German Shepherd or smaller, just stay away.
Mm.
And she'll say that the spiders don't like the electricity, I guess, and so he'll make sure we are not bothered too much.
That's a luxury.
And she'll, I am a classy lady.
If we like drive by spiders that are keeping their distance, I might like just kind of like throw some minor shocks out there to see if they run away from it, kind of thing.
And they definitely will, yeah.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. So it's not just farther, maybe it's just electricity and storm in general that puts them in their place and this area close to Arashi's shrine. Not that I have all sorts of electrical magic just handy. In fact, that might be the only one I've got is shock. Yeah, spark.
But yeah, driving through the woods here, you will eventually start to see the, oh God, what, 20 foot by 20 foot kind of stone gazebo. Very open, lots of ways to see through it. You can see the carvings upon it. A lot of the runes, kind of an old Kushani, also on it, carved in are storm clouds, lightning bolts that seem to kind of shift what weather patterns as you walk around the outside of this shrine. There is no webbing on the shrine, no spiders here. You can see a small dais in the middle where it looks like at one point it probably held something of significance to Arashi, but it looks like for the most part that dais has been covered over a bit with moss and vines that have grown upon it. When Matilda gets out of the vehicle, though, she will make sure to put on her fancy shoes that react with elemental magics. She'll also put on a set of Rethi gloves that she'll kind of turn on and clang, and you can hear they kind of polarize. You want your big stick, Lucius?
Yeah, sure, I'm bringing it with me.
Just careful you swing it. I don't get to benefit from clerical healing like you do.
Oh, yeah, kind of forgot about that. Or you know what? I'm like going to like be thinking about where I'm going to like put this, and then I'm just going to summon my hard light attendant who's going to just carry it and follow me along with it.
Your hollow Jeeves?
Yep. My scythe hollow Jeeves.
Yeah, she just laughs. Just kind of, Lucius.
You never know.
All right. Yeah, I guess let's take a look at this shrine. She'll have that moment where she wants to lock the doors, but then looks around at the spider force and is like, no one's going to take the car.
Yeah, the spider's just going to break in anyways. Might as well just leave it unlocked. Don't leave any valuables in there.
Bunch of spiders are ripping out the tape deck.
Right. Well, now we're just breaking the windows because it's locked. Farther, what kind of weapon is he again? We've seen him in action.
You've not seen him in action, really. It's a bladed scarf that has a bunch of storm spells.
I remember it zapped me that one time.
So as you and Matilda gather outside with your unseen servant carrying the scythe for you, you're standing out here. You can see that the electrical aura given off by Farther is preventing the spiders from kind of getting close. But the shrine sits here in the middle of this wooded area with a couple rocks nearby that have carved runes into it for Arashi as well. You can smell and kind of hear the ocean in the distance that you know is at the other end of the spider forest.
All right. I'll be kind of nervously, like, kind of walking behind Matilda, and every now and then if a spider feels like it's getting a little bit too close, I might try to scare it with a little bit of a cantrip lightning zap.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the bigger ones will be able to kind of push through that aura, but once they get a direct zap, they'll skitter away.
I don't like that.
Yeah, this is annoying until it happens. They're like, okay, I don't want this.
I could eat something else.
But yeah, Matilda, we'll look around here. So how do you do this, Lucius?
Well, on the last one, well, there was a well, and we just went down it. We kind of had some clues. I'm going to kind of focus and start detecting secret doors.
Womp.
Detecting secret doors, both of the two large stones, located both to the north and south of the shrine, will glow. The one to the north, as you focus on it, has the same kind of four slots that you saw in that door at the well.
Okay.
The one to the south does not. Looks like that one requires a key.
Okay.
But they are well hidden into the framework of the stone. If you didn't have detect secret doors, it'd require like a good perception to notice it.
All right. So I'll go to the, it's the southern one that requires a key, right?
Yeah, southern one requires a key.
All right, I'll kind of investigate that. What, like a keyhole or something that fits into it?
Yeah, you see in the runes that are carved into the stone, there's a spot where basically like a key would be pushed in to unlock the front face of the rock to make the door.
I don't think that I've ever found any kind of key that would work for this. So yeah, I'm going to look it over and I'll kind of like run my human hand over the keyhole and look over to Matilda and say, I think this rock here requires a key. It looks like an entrance, or perhaps this is the way to get in. Kind of look it over a little bit more and then I'll walk over to the northern rock. I'll say, but I think I understand how to work this one, and I will fit my four fingers into the holes and try to operate it.
Yeah, using the arm of the Empire, that will click into place and you can rotate it and it will open the door.
I'll look at the arm of the Empire, kind of admiring it a little bit, and think, looks like this is kind of an alternative key. I like, like in the past, like this is a Makith arm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Why would all the other robot gods create a back door for Makith? Or maybe I'm missing something. I'm not saying that crap out loud. I'm just kind of thinking it and then waiting for a little bit of awe from Matilda and how I opened up the door. Then again, she was kind of expecting me to do that, wasn't she? Like, that was your job.
But she definitely, like, well done, Lucius. I asked for a thing and you did the thing I asked for.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm the best door opener. I definitely have one skill, and that is finding hidden doors. All right.
Yeah, she'll turn on a flashlight as she will approach with you into the large northern stone.
Does this one have built-in metal like some of the other places where I might be able to cast a light spell? And
yeah, absolutely. Similar to the other ones, you'll tap along the side of the rock face before you'll hear that clang. They'll let you know that there is a metal bar that's going to run the length of this, and you can cast light on it as it'll, the long hallway light-up scene.
Yeah, I'll before I do that, I'll tell Matilda, you can put that away. I think I've got this. And light it up.
Well, look at you. A veritable Magnus.
Let's just say this isn't my first dungeon crawl.
Yeah, she'll follow behind you then.
Oh god, why am I in front?
Yeah, you can see the well-worn and old stone steps that go down into the lit hallway. similar to before, it feels like this is almost like a secret maintenance hallway. There's spots where you can stop and you use the arm to open up to look into similar rooms that you saw on the other side. Though this one isn't built like the well, where it's going down directly. Okay. It seems to be built more wide.
So does it seem like perhaps the other rock with the keyhole might have given me a different entrance?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, if you enter this top floor, like, you'd see the same kind of thing, right? Well, rotted away pantries, rooms where people could stay, little smaller shrines to Arashi, as well as smaller shrines dedicated to Horeth. And you would see that there is definitely a main stairwell that would line up with that southern rock at the far end of this wide, gotcha. Wide room.
Can I close this door behind us?
Yep.
I'm going to do that and turn to Matilda and say it's probably best if I close this door. I think that I'm the only one with this backdoor key. The other key looks like it would be like the main entrance for, I don't know, the common acolyte or something to enter.
Yeah, 100%. That's kind of the vibe right. You're getting as you kind of search around. And you and Matilda can give me perception checks if you're looking through this kind of top area.
I wind up my perception check. Bam, whoa. Oh, I thought it was going to be good. I got a 16 total.
You and her look around this area. The lighting doesn't extend into this
room.
That lighting is just that maintenance hall. So you're having to cast light again somewhere around here, or she's using her flashlight. She'll kick it like old rusted stuff. But she does move slowly and carefully. Seems to be like she's listening to Farther kind of explain. And she's able to kind of say, like, looks like each of these shrines were used at different times during the year to give praise to Arashi. They also seem to reference something called a slod. There's a mural upon one wall of, like, almost looks like an elf wielding a large kind of blade that's almost too long for his body as they're flying in place. Farther says that this is known as the Champion Stormwind.
The Champion Stormwind. The hero of Big Campaign 1.
Dun dun dun. But yeah, you and Matilda searching through here. Plenty of space. I mean, like the other location, you could probably fit about 30 or so acolytes in this top room, with enough space for kitchens and bathrooms and living areas. And there's a section in the middle here where it looks like even a small garden would be able to function. And you can see where it's well grown over that there's like a stone ceiling that's closed. Like, it could open to the air if the machine is still working.
The random rusty stuff that's just kind of hanging around, minor artifacts or just whatever, I'll be a little bit interested, but this stuff will just kind of swirl around me as I mage hand it up and just kind of view it in front of me and then gently discard it.
Yeah, I mean, old utensils, cups, plates, I mean, it's a lot of kind of just leftover junk. Things that, at this point, they may have been a key, but they're so rusted that you wouldn't trust it in a good lock without them breaking.
But yeah, just showing off magic.
She'll look at it with a, like, slightly jealous look, right? You can tell that she does think it's cool.
Yeah, not just anybody can lift 10 pounds worth of stuff with mage hand. So cool, yeah, just investigating and looking. I haven't been concentrating on detect secret doors, so that must have gone away by now. And,
yeah, I mean, that fades after, what, 7 rounds?
Yeah.
So a little bit less than a minute. But yeah, as you look around here, you'll see that there's definitely the stairwell that goes down to a second floor.
I'll gulp a little bit and say, I'll lead the way.
She'll step aside and please do.
Oh yeah, well I do.
Your footsteps will echo in this large empty space coming down to the second area. This reminds you very much of that other well room where in the center here they have the map of the Empire, the old Empire, except it does have one of the gems illuminated. As you come down here, and this one you can trace back over to the Arferi district.
Looking over at Matilda, I'll point at this map and say, all right, good, this is very much like the one in the Arferi district. You can see that this one's illuminated over here, and that's, as I understand it, shows that that our shrine is operational, powered up.
Yeah, she'll put an arm around you to, oh, excellent, hell yeah. All right, so where do we think these other two are? And this one looks like it might be Silidae in the mountains, maybe?
Yeah, honestly, I think you're right. Where exactly there, I'm not quite sure, but this is definitely a guide to get there.
All right, then this other one here looks like it's got right on the edge of Selene and South Duskbanter, so it's, I guess, maybe the cliffside. We'll get teams there, and she'll take out her HCOM and take some pictures.
Yeah, definitely. But as for entering, it could very well be like this one. We'll probably need keys of some sort to get in, that or they're very well hidden, hard to say. Does this map look like pretty much identical to the one in, where was it? It wasn't Sword Eye, was it?
Arferi.
our ferry, thank you.
Yeah, it does look, it looks
okay, great.
Pretty much just like it. The other rooms in here, she'll look around and point at what, pull out some like really old robes that kind of fall apart. She's like, oh, it looks like this is, Farthers tell me this is, I guess, where the clergy were. I see tide callers and tempest bringers, storm runners, all people here that looks like, I guess must have been necessary to keep this place going. Occasionally you'll catch like a small, almost translucent spider that's about the size of maybe a guinea pig. Doesn't have like large fangs or anything, but it seems to run away from the light as the flashlight kind of goes over it.
Oh, it looks like this place isn't airtight.
The spiders will be running towards one corner, which you will find will be, there's another set of stairs that goes down. But these rooms, imagine like three circles where they're just kind of overlapping at a corner.
Okay.
Overlapping on an edge. Seems to be all heading kind of easterly towards the shore edge.
Am I seeing indications like vents and stuff that show that this shrine has a similar purpose than the last one? Like maybe it generates power, or does it look like maybe it has a different purpose?
Yeah, you can see air vents that go up to the top. Though you're not getting like a lot of breeze through them, so they're probably clogged.
Okay.
Growth has kind of gotten into them. But you can see there are a large amount of crystals that line the inside. A lot of crystals that are embedded into the walls along the top. You know, if you cast light on them, they seem to amplify that light. But they are each kind of individual. So like the light doesn't spread to them like it does with like the metal bar.
Seems to amplify magic, huh? Any of them loose?
Yeah, there's a couple that are.
I'll pick up some crystal pieces then. And...
Okay. Yeah, imagine they're about the size of a pint glass.
Yeah, maybe for a test run, while I'm playing with one for a second, I might like try to cast my spark spell and see if that amplifies while holding it.
Yeah, the spark spell will hold within the crystal, giving off light like a light bulb.
Huh, like it maybe absorbed the spell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll be holding onto that, and I guess I'm ready to move forward if it still is.
Yeah, heading down to the third floor here. This one has more statues, pillars in it that seem to carry the story of Urashi, a god once wrong that was reborn after the death of another storm god that it took its power. But this room definitely has a salty smell. The brine and kind of almost like the oceans nearby. You can see these small spiders here that are running away from your flashlights. They all kind of disappear into crevices and corners that drop down. Though you can't find another set of stairs here on this third floor.
But there's statues and stuff.
Yeah, statues to Arashi's champions. There's another one to Leonia Stormwind. A few of these like large kind of frog-like creatures. Matilda would let you know that, yeah, Farther's pretty excited. He never actually got to see the shrine before he was put in the scarf or in the Alfier.
But he knows about it.
Yeah, it looks like that. The higher-end priests of Arashi are supposed to come here to receive final rites and blessings, but he was never able to.
I guess without going to my go-to and just trying to solve this with magic... way forward, maybe a perception check or something to see if there's something secret. Yeah,
go and give me that Percepticon.
I'm gonna go ahead and perceive. I roll total of 3.
Classic. What you're looking for, something, one of these albino kind of smooth spiders comes screeching and running out, and
I zap it.
Yeah, funny enough, unlike the spiders up above, when you zap this one, much like the crystal, it holds on to that charge, and so you see the little electricity following it as it disappears down a hole.
I'll look over to Matilda and give a shrug.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right, this has to go somewhere, so I'll concentrate again and start detecting secret doors.
Yeah, in the north side of one of the offering rooms, you will find another door that triggers off the Arm of the Empire.
Yeah, I'll walk up to it and brush some stuff away, maybe see the holes a little bit better, and say, found it.
She'll roll her eyes, and of course you found it, again.
I'm good for something. And I will put my arm against the holes and attempt to spin it.
Clicks into place before the door will open into that maintenance hallway. Your light spell from before has faded, so you can definitely find that metal shard again and flick it on.
Bop. On.
Yeah, looking down, the stairs continue down another floor's worth, but you can see about 30 feet down these stairs, you see the remnants of a body. Kind of like the other one, the cloth is far past gone. It does have another Arm of the Empire on it, as well as a ring, but you can see it looks like the leg bones have been pulverized and broken. Looks like the person probably dragged themselves here before they died.
Yeah, I'll point it out to Matilda and say, hold on a second.
Hey, Lucius, why does that thing have the same thing you have?
So this is an Arm of the Empire, and agents of McKeith could seem to, I guess, have these. And they were able to, I guess, go through these shrines. it looked as if the person that I found the arm on my body, that person seemed to have sabotaged the shrine and stopped its production of energy. As it looks, there's another agent of Makith here. I don't know if this is coincidence. So only one of the shrines on the map was lit, and that's the one that we activated.
Correct.
I'm a little bit curious now if there was an effort to shut down all these shrines at once by these agents of Makith. But that's just coming to a guess now. I'll be saying that out loud, knowing that it doesn't make much sense.
Matilda will go over to inspect the body, and as she kind of pulls it and looks at the cloth, it's like, oh, it looks like they were wearing the robes of the Arashi priests from above. So you think these guys probably snuck in here and turned them off?
I'm curious. I don't have very much proof. There weren't any notes or anything on the body that we found, right? Even if there was, it would have been long disintegrated, right? Probably same with this one. Unless if there was something inscribed magically.
No, she'll flip over and search the body a bit, and she will find a well-made silver key that is fairly worn at this point, but looks like this would work for the other door.
Hold on to that.
I'm going to keep this thing, too, and she'll pull up the arm as a chunk of bone will fall off it.
Is that the other robot arm? Because I was thinking about chopping off my right arm and putting that on it. So go for the double robot arm.
Go for the double robot
arm? Can't even hold, like, a fork anymore.
Well, that's what Mage Hand's for.
This is why you're magic. Oh, yeah, of course. She picks that up. I'll say, grab that ring, too.
Oh, yeah. She'll pull that. And you can go ahead and give me a sense motive.
I attempt to sense the motives. Main. I got a total of 17.
You're not positive, but Matilda is looking at these things with a lot more interest and intent.
It does look like a matching ring to my ring, right? Does the same thing. I'll kind of cautiously start telling her what that ring does, and that it's kind of dangerous, kind of unethical, as it allows you to channel spells through souls. I guess that's not something that you'd be able to do, huh? Sorry.
She'll give you that dead look of, right. Yeah, I'm not really worried about that part.
And then I'll show my hand that has that ring on it, and I haven't used it before. I don't want to use it, but that's what it does.
Well, good to know.
Can I look around and see if there's anything evident that shows how this guy died? Looks like his lower half was just crushed, huh? And like he probably crawled his way here. Weird. Any mechanisms around or anything?
Going past his body, it's another 20 feet down before you'd find a fourth door. Opening from this side and looking in, you're looking into an underground cave. You can see the stalactites above. You can smell the ocean water, though. Even though this room's fairly dark, you know, Matilda's flashlight kind of illuminates that there is another control panel here. You can see kind of large machines that seem to go from the ceiling of the cave all the way down to the floor. Those seems to border on what looks like a giant opening into an underground sea, or an area at least filled with water. In the middle of the room, though, her flashlight will illuminate. There's a large vase with the four crescent moons on it.
Well, sounds like I better break that open. Or wait, maybe it's got magic or loot inside of it, like the last one. I'll put a hand on her shoulder and say, in the last shrine, found a vase like this, and it unleashed some sort of trap that was a monster. Be careful.
Okay, so should we shoot it?
Is it magical?
The vase, yes.
Yeah, I'll focus on it a little bit. I'll start to ponder what we did that triggered the last vase, which was just fucking with it in general, right? Like, we lifted it out and monster popped out. I wonder if there's a way to disable it from the controls, though. So if we tamper with it, I'm worried that some sort of summoned creature's going to pop out. Maybe there's a way to disable it, though.
Okay, like, should I try to hit it with lightning and push it in the water?
Are there, you said that there's control panels around, or like levers and stuff like that?
Yeah, it looks like there's a series of control panels on the far end of this room, adjacent to the edge that goes into the water.
All right. I will say, just keep your eye on that. I'm going to check out these controls and see if there's something obvious that would disable it. And I will cautiously make my way to those controls.
Yeah, walking out a bit from this door onto this platform, you can see the wave-like pattern kind of carved into the stone that shows, you know, the edges have lightning bolts and storms. You see tentacles coming out of the water. Looks like it's a, you know, giant ocean kind of hurricane typhoon-esque design to it. But the vase sits there in the middle. You can see what the moldy in like the big chunk of like probably what that guy's shoe was somewhere around here.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of think that this vase is what did away with that acolyte of McKeith. So yeah, I kind of tiptoe around it and head my way to the controls.
So as you are getting closer to the vase, you'll see a bunch of those small kind of albino spiders as they'll rush past you, you know, afraid of the light, and they'll dive into the ocean.
Ah, ocean spiders, huh?
But getting close and wanting to not activate the vase, go ahead and give me a use magic device.
Attempt to use magic device. I got a total of 24.
All right, the 24, you're able to pretend, at least, the vase will register you as a cleric of Arashi. As you get close to the vase, you can see it has that kind of muck inside of it. You can definitely tell it has those pseudopods at the surface, kind of coiled and ready.
Yeah.
Like it's ready to take on that form like the other one did. But for right now, holding out your arm and using an edge device, you're able to convince it right now that you're not a threat.
So over my shoulder, Matilda, don't come any closer. This, I've convinced this thing that I'm not a threat right now, but it's definitely a trap.
All right. I will wait here. Farther says those are elemental-bound souls. Usually it was a blessing to become one.
You know anything about disabling them?
No, he seems to say that they're simply guardians of the location. They're immune to electricity, so we'd want to try to stay away from that if we can.
Oh, wow. Okay. Happen to know if it's weak against anything?
Farther says that their forms, though resilient, they're weak against thunder or sonic effects. Farther is able to generate a thunder blast if we need to.
Okay. Keep that in your back pocket. All right. We know that, so... Yeah, I just keep heading towards the controls at this point.
All right. Yeah, as you head closer, you can see the controls built in as it looks over into the water. It looks like there's some luminescence from in the water further down than you can see from here without going to the edge. But it seems a similar control panel to the one you saw at the well. But obviously a little bit different, yeah. Right? Built for this location. The generator pillars on both sides that go into the water and into the ground that reach all the way up to the ceiling.
As I recall... Oswald was able to use his magic to just read this stuff. I don't have that power.
Mm-hmm.
What I do have is... I mean, I can't just solve this with magic.
You can attempt to activate blindly with use magic device. It is a DC 25.
Right. I'm going to start explaining to Matilda what these controls should do to activate the shrine. While also saying there's a risk that I might not do this correctly, and it could activate the vase, but this is kind of a perform oratory to give myself +2 to this, so I'm...
Yeah, she'll call back. Did the last one have one of these? How hard was it?
On the last one, I actually accidentally found the vase hidden and thought that it might be treasure. It was a big old oopsie.
Yeah, she'll laugh. But you're fine, right? Like, it wasn't a very strong guardian?
It was pretty strong. Yeah, it took the whole team to take him down. So, you know, get ready.
Her scarf will begin to generate electricity around her. Ready when you are, Lucy.
All right, use magic device, right? This is going to be at a +2.
Yep.
Bop. Whoa, 16. Hell yeah.
Yeah, with a 16, as you run your hands across it and try to emulate what you saw Oswald do before, a few lights will... flicker and turn on, but will repower down before the vase will begin to activate.
Yay!
The water begins to run from the ocean towards the vase as it begins to take on that large form again. Let's get initiatives.
Right, you're gonna hear a fuck, 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 fuck.
And she'll call out as soon as she starts to see that water of like, you didn't do it, did you?
I didn't do it. I got a total of 19.
Matilda gets a 3, and the monster gets a 19. The creature roars as its large elemental guardian takes form, made of seawater, chunks of rock. You can see inside of it, riling kind of storms, electricity that boil underneath as one of its fists condenses. It takes a stride towards you.
I go, oh crap, oh crap.
It will bring down one of its massive fists.
All right. Overcharging my cough suit, I activate it.
Yeah, the thrum of sonic energy will surround you, giving you a defensive shell against this, as it will hit for 22 points of damage.
I'm going to reactively attempt to windy escape on this one, too. If its attack is magic in any way, then the windy escape is null and void.
It does not count as magic.
then that is going to be a total of 2 subdual damage to me. So the power of my suit, I believe it's a d8 plus 5 of sonic damage. I attempt to pomp a total of 7 on the dice roll.
Yeah, the sonic damage reverberates across it. You can see where it breaks the magic that kind of holds it form, so it does take double damage from that.
Yes. I hate you, monster.
But Lucius, it is your turn.
Oh, crap. So, it's trying to bash me. I'm going to have the hand off and be wielding the hand of Gulshern right now. And say that's a move action?
Yeah.
And then I am going to get into a full defensive.
Matilda will call out, "All right, coming in." You'll see her scarf will set a burst of electricity, a lightning bolt behind her at her feet, which will propel her forward towards the monster. And she flies across towards it. She'll attempt to do kind of like an axe kick into the side of it, and she will kick it, though it does not look like her foot's able to actually do any damage.
More damage than I could ever deal. I'll admire those sick moves. So wait, does it look like she does martial arts now? Or probably always did? Or...
Yeah, it looks like she has trained at least. You know, she went to when she took her vacation, she went to Silene to take some classes.
All right, went for the kick.
The electricity basically just hits it and dissipates across it. The monster will turn around and hit Matilda, doing 13 points of damage to her, and she will roll a fortitude save.
Oh, jeez.
The monster strike sends her flying back 15 feet, knocking her prone. She'll skid across the ground of the stone floor here, tumbling across. And you'll just hear from her like a fuck as it will turn back towards you and swing with 17, Lucius. Believe in a full defensive, you actually dodge it.
This would be the first time that somebody's missed me, yeah. So does that mean that the cough suit's not going to trigger?
Yeah. No, it still does because it still gets into your space. So it brings down its massive fist, breaking the rock around your feet as you...
Oh, yeah, he's still within that 5. Expertly dodge. I'm gonna hit it with a total of 10. Would that mean 20 damage?
It will. Roars ferociously back, but it still mindlessly continues to swing at you. It is your turn.
I'm gonna try to give him a whack. Full power attack. That's a joke. I don't have the strength to do that.
You don't qualify. Yeah, I was like, you don't even qualify for that feat.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh man. Total of 26.
You absolutely hit it.
That's the first time I hit a guy with a melee weapon. All right. So I did it. Somewhat minimum damage. Do any of the powers on it apply, like axiomatic or anything?
Axiomatic does not, so it won't trigger that.
Oh.
But it does designate. So, and it is adamantium, so it does cut through the monster's damage reduction.
Hell yeah, 9 damage.
But Matilda now has a bonus to both hit and damage against it.
And so do I, right?
You do, yeah, for your next swing.
I don't have one of those, so I just kind of relish in the, holy crap, I rolled high enough to hit a guy. And that's my turn.
All right, Matilda will get up kind of slowly. She shakes off kind of the hit. All right, she takes farther and seems to speak to it a little bit as she's like, all right, we need to do a thunder thing. And she's going to hold her action as she's farther is going to cast the spell next turn once she gets close enough to touch it.
Makes sense.
Hold it off, Lucius. Just a little bit longer.
I've got this. Oh, Jesus.
The monster will swing at you twice.
That is a hit.
First one with the 27.
That is now a hit, too.
Second with an 18.
Let me confirm that. Yeah, we're going to call that 2 hits.
All right, the first hit for minimum damage for 10.
All right, it would be dishonest for me not to use Windy Escape on one of these. That is going to be completely negated by my... cough power, and we're going to pop.
And then the second swing does 22.
Woof. All right. I am going to Windy Escape that. So he's going to take 20 damage from the first attack, and then he's going to take 16 damage from the next one. And I take a total of 2 subdual damage.
All right, Lucius, it is your turn.
All right, feeling pretty confident with what just happened with that last attack. I'm like, tell myself, all right, I've got this. And I raise my scythe up high, and I attack. Bam! Yeah! 3 plus 2.
With an impressive, 14, even with the designating.
Not quite there. All right. Learning curve. That's my turn.
All right. Matilda will sprint towards the monster as she gets close. It will take an attack of opportunity at her. 26 will hit, doing 17 points of damage. As she'll, God damn it. She will roll her fort save, this time passing, so she won't be flung back. But she will release the shatter spell.
That sounds promising.
So there's a cacophonous explosion of thunder against the side of this creature as her scarf, running down her arms, braces her hands as it does 37 points of sonic, doubled to 74.
Damn!
And the creature will explode.
I'll be all, like, yelling and twirling a scythe, and then just suddenly, like, blows up in front of me, and I'm just in shock.
Yeah, I do need a reflex save from both of you.
Fortunately, that's my forte. If you didn't know this, it's not very bad at reflex saves. I got a total of 12.
With a 16, she's able to use the energy from the burst to push herself back and out of the threatened range from the explosion. But you up against the corner here are not.
All right, how bad is it?
Yeah, in a burst of stone, electricity, and water, you'll take 19 points of energy damage.
That doesn't sound like physical damage at all.
It does not.
All right, I've got nothing on that. I yell out in pain, but I'm still standing.
Yeah, Matilda looks at you from across the area, is bruised and scratched up on one side of her face and body. As she kind of laughs and, oh, God. Good one, Lucius. She's holding her side.
I'll still be, like, breathing really heavy, doing one of those, like I just got exploded on.
Yeah, she'll come over and put out a hand to you. And
yeah, the cough suit, I'll disengage that. And yeah, let her pick me up here. And holding up the scythe, I'll be like, did you see that?
Yeah, that was... I think you hit it good.
Yeah, high five all around.
Yeah, she'll go for the high five.
I'll go, whoa, yeah, this thing's heavy. And I'll pass it back to the hard light attendant.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to remake another one because that thing probably got exploded.
Probably got exploded. So that was an actual item, like a hard light attendant, right? Does it just dissolve and like you can resummon it? Or did that thing just break?
The hard light attendant, the nanites broke, so it'll take it a day to recharge. So,
in that case, I look down at the scattered bits of what used to be my hard light attendant and go, summon a unseen servant and say, yeah, shame about that hard light attendant, and pass my scythe to the unseen servant.
That's kind of exciting. That's kind of fun.
Oh, I don't know about fun, but we did it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll like be looking at my scrapes and like taking a handkerchief out and getting some of the blood off me. Like, usually Dosh to stop that from happening.
Well, next time, next time we'll bring a crew.
I think the two of us make a pretty good crew as is.
Yeah, she'll punch you in the shoulder and I don't disagree.
Yeah, I rub at the sore spot that punch inevitably leaves me, no matter how light it was.
All right, Lucia, so how does this thing work?
Oh, that's the best part. I don't know. Oswald was able to figure out the last one. I'll kind of ponder it and see if I can't start to put together how to operate it with maybe does a knowledge technology make sense? I attempted.
Yeah, go ahead.
Total of 12.
Looking it over, there's still, unfortunately, the old symbols here just don't quite make sense, but Matilda's able with farther to kind of point out, like, he says some of these symbols are, it looks like it just doesn't have enough power. I can see if I can put electricity into it, if you think that's safe.
Yeah, well, nothing's safe, so might as well go all the way. I will full blast my arm of the Empire with an electrical spell, something like Call Lightning, and attempt to interact with it again.
Okay, yeah. When you say you're going full with it, are you using the ring as well?
God, I'm really... don't like the idea of using people's souls to use magic. but at the same time, I don't have a lot to... I want this thing to work. So, yes.
Placing the Arm of the Empire upon it, calling lightning, you'll... From inside of this cave here, at least, you'll see electricity run up the walls, pulling from the water in front of you as it streaks across the generators, starting to turn them on. You can hear the whir of large turbines that seem to be underneath your feet, as underneath the stone here that seem to pull. You can see the water start to ripple a bit as well, as the lights here will start to engage. Matilda will look at you and, so it's working? Like it works? You don't know what any of the things say? The lights do turn on for it.
Right. I'll slowly turn to her and say, I think that it's working. I don't know what I'm doing. Could I potentially attempt to try a use magic device on this to figure it out? We're going to try it. I'm going to beef up the Inspire Courage, but I do have this spell, True Skill. When faced with an important situation, you grant yourself a magical edge to ensure your success. On casting the spell, select one skill for which you can attempt a skill check. Next time you attempt a skill using blah, you gain an insight bonus check equal to one half your caster level. So this is at +3 to my normal.
Okay, so you got a +5 with your...
Yeah, with my Inspire Competence. Let's go. Use magic device. Hit it. I got a total of a 22 to try to comprehend how this device works.
Yeah, with a 22, you are able to get it to function similar to the one you found in the well. The generator's here pulling in water and pushing out electricity. You see the water begin to churn, and it seems to be active. You can see the same kind of bars you saw on the other one. Yeah, this seems to be running fairly stable like the other one.
So I'll turn to Matilda and say, I think that it's active. If this is anything like the other shrine, there's got to be ancient conduit that's bringing this energy into, well, probably the city. I think we've activated it. I'll point at the bars and say this is a general idea of how much energy this thing's outputting. It works.
Fuck yes, I'm going to call Xavier. Let's get up top, we'll give him a call, and we'll send over another team. Lock this down. I'll reach out to Amon and confirm the permits on this.
Yeah, this is ours.
Yeah, with that, as you guys head back up the stairs, taking the maintenance hall up on the side, once you get back up the top, it's like nothing's going on. Though you know that the energy is being output by it, and you'd probably get that message from Xavier being like, hey, one of the lights just turned on at the well. What's going on? Text over to you all. But during that, as you get up to the top, coming out of the rock and approaching the shrine, the scarf around Matilda's neck will begin to float and generate a lot more electricity. She does have a little bit of a worried look, but of course the electricity can't hurt her as the magic doesn't affect her, but you will start to see an electric ghost-like form of an android that comes out of it.
I'll be looking at that pretty wide-eyed.
Yeah, she seems also fairly surprised as the form begins to speak to her. I'm sorry to say, Matilda, that our time is over. The rules binding me to my Alfier are completed, and here in this shrine to my God, I can finally join the Eternal Tempest. I have accomplished what is necessary for my redemption, and I thank you and all that you have done, all that I have seen, and my time with you has made me better. Goodbye, Matilda. The electrical form will fire off into the sky, dissipating into the sunny day, as Matilda kind of looks over at you and just goes, fuck, well, there goes my cool tricks.
Is that how Alfiers work?
I guess... Damn it.
I'll just be like scratching at my head. Well, shit. Father was pretty cool.
Perfect. I think that's where we will end it.
That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, subscribe. You know the stuff. Our intro and outro are from Nihilor. That was Monolithic. You also heard Cathedral, Dream Sunlight, and Mendel Hypercube. Also, Cyber Kong by Moodmo. Well, I hope you're doing okay out there. I know it's a bit tough, but I think you're awesome. All right, bye!